Fresh Art International presents conversations about creativity in the 21st century. This is Fresh Art International. I'm Kathy Bird. We've been sharing conversations about creativity on this podcast since 2011. As nations increasingly retreat behind their borders, it becomes imperative for artists and art leaders to catalyze communities. Our creative energy is a vital force with the potential to mitigate conflict and prejudice locally, nationally, and globally. CEC ArtsLink was established in 1962 to encourage dialogue between artists and communities in the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Since that time, the organization has continued to cultivate individual encounters, public events, transnational networks, and virtual platforms in countries that used to be part of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. A 2023 residency with CEC ArtsLink in Central Asia gives me the chance to experience Art Prospect, CEC's annual transnational public art festival. This year, Art Prospect partners with two local initiatives, Tazar and the Bishkek School of Contemporary Art, on a festival centered on interpreting the history of pollution in Kyrgyzstan. Tazar is a sorting and recycling platform and mobile application that teaches communities and businesses in the city of Bishkek and across the region how to take responsibility for their ecological footprint. Bishkek School of Contemporary Art is an informal, self-organizing platform for art that engages with political, economic, and environmental issues. Every year, the school hosts the Trash Art Festival to highlight the pollution crisis in Bishkek. The event unfolds in two high-contrast venues, Oak Park in the city and Altın Kazık, an informal settlement that sits at the edge of Bishkek's vast landfill. Oak Park, a beautiful central park, is a destination for locals and tourists. Established in 1890, the park features an amazing tree canopy, meandering paths, a fountain the length of two swimming pools, an open-air sculpture museum with more than 90 works, a drama theater, a church built in 1886, and an art gallery. 12 kilometers from the city, the landfill has been in operation since 1978, with the original plan to collect and utilize waste for a city of 400,000. Today, the Kyrgyz capital has more than 1.2 million residents, and the size of its Soviet-built dump site has dramatically expanded to nearly 50 hectares of land. Until early this year, the existing site was the scene of a recurring fire from easily ignited landfill gas. Worsening air quality in the city is a critical issue. Fortunately, the opening of a new environmentally safe landfill right next to the old one is imminent. Public artist in residence with the New York City Sanitation Department, Stolen shares the challenges and rewards of the project he was determined to site inside the landfill.
I just came from the landfill. I have like fresh landfill dirt on my boots. On the drive here, I was thinking about what I was bringing with me, like beyond the dirt. And it's the experience of being at the landfill day in and day out. When I was asked to be part of this festival, I was really interested in researching the landfill. And one of the things I've always wanted to do In New York, I've always wanted to create a sanitation museum. It's been something that's been talked about for a while. It hasn't happened yet. So I propose that we make a museum here in Bishkek at the actual landfill. Actually, the day after I arrived, we went to the landfill and the container was put down right in its place, ready to be worked on. There was some news blog that wrote about it. Authorities found out and decided that was not a good idea. So we basically got a big no on the project. Day two, that was here. So, you know, what do you do, right? Well, you go to City Hall. That's what you do, right? We went to City Hall, I think, three times my first week I was here. We set up office in the lobby of City Hall, which I loved. We had, like, computers, and we were, like, waiting for people to come in so we could bug them about this trash museum idea. And it eventually worked. I mean, we actually got to see some, like, real change happen in real time. There was, like, this two-week period where we were trying to get the permission. We went to the city archive and, like, dug up all the information we could about the landfill. I've never been here before. I don't speak the language. All this stuff, it's a total obstacle course, you know. But it's fun. It's really challenging. You learn so much trying to navigate the system as an outsider, which I'm used to anyways, you know, even in New York, navigating the city agencies.
The landfill's deputy director turned out to be a great friend and supporter.
We don't speak the same language, but we kind of both know a lot about trash. He just kind of kept showing up every day and talking to him, having him give me a tour of the space and learning what their daily life is in the landfill. I'm kind of one of these people that needs to, like, go there and see it and smell it and touch it. And, you know, spending time in a landfill, of course, it's horrible. But at the same time, there's, like, these beautiful moments, you know, beautiful sunsets and wild dogs.
Stolen roamed the dump site for his field research, becoming a trash collector in the process.
I wanted to learn about the trash, too. So I got a shopping basket, and every day I would go shopping in the landfill and pick objects that spoke to me. But I also asked all the sanitation workers there to give me objects for the museum. Every single person throws away stuff every single day. What is that stuff? What does it mean? What kind of legacy do we leave? And under the guise of a museum, collecting these quote-unquote artifacts is humorous and serious at the same time, you know? It's like a living memory of things that we immediately try to forget about. In a kind of like a poetic way, when you look at trash, you think about what are the stories connected to these objects. Every day, sanitation workers drive by to dump their garbage, and they actually stop now. We want to create a space that brings people together and gives visibility to the work that they do and the problems that we all face.
In Oak Park, we explore projects inside the gallery and outdoors beneath the trees. One intimate performance project unfolds in both festival venues. Swiss-born social scientist and choreographer Ronja Rummelt sits down with us at an outdoor cafe to talk about The Space Between, a performative process of physical and mental encounters that tests the different dynamics of public urban spaces.
I'm a choreographer and social scientist. I usually do choreographic projects in public space about movement patterns and movement habits. And how do we use public space, how do we move in public space, and how we meet each other in public space. I'm convinced, as long as I live, that there are a lot of topics like wars, migration, pollution, climate change that addresses the question how we use public space and how we meet each other in public space. So in Bishkek, we did the performance Zwischenräume, The Space in Between. It's a choreographic work in public space. The performers walking around in a specific place and searching for eye contact with the passersby.
This gorilla performance is so discreet that it often goes unnoticed.
If they have eye contact, they go to the people and they talk to them and invite them for an encounter by following a specific choreography. We did it 3 times in Bishkek, and the people were very open. I was very surprised. They were very polite. Everybody listened to the performers, and a lot of people participate. We did interviews and asked them what they perceive, how it is. It was really interesting to hear what people think about that. I do this work since 2019 in different countries and cities, and now I start a collection with interviews where people talk about their experience. We can start to compare what happened in which city or culture, country. For example, what mean eye contact in public space between genders? What means it if you have a dictatorship? And so on.
Public transit pollution in Bishkek created the textured black marks in a composition on one wall inside the Oak Park Gallery and on a billboard downtown. Based in Tbilisi, Georgia, artist Michiko Sulakouri masterminded the site-specific, process-driven project that he brings to the festival.
My work and project is called Black Spot. I started it 4 years ago in my hometown, Tbilisi, Georgia. So back in the days, my city was also like deadly poisonous, polluted, mostly by unregulated public transport. I live in one of the most polluted avenue in Tbilisi, Pekini Avenue, which is full of these minibuses. I could see daily how they were polluting the sky of beautiful city of Tbilisi. You could eventually see this black smoke coming out from yellow minibuses. So all the time I was watching this smoke, I was thinking how I could translate them into images and pictures. Finally, I discovered a method where I asked these drivers to help. So I went on the last stop. I put a paper into an exhaust pipe, and these cars started to print images like that. And I started to collect this pollution on the papers, and it was terrifying to see how beautiful sometimes it was. And it was paradoxical to see its aesthetical side. When I started to collect them and assemble in a one big picture, then I understood that this artwork needed something more, needed to be activated in some way.
While researching pirate lore, Michiko found the term black spot, the legendary black mark on a paper sent as a warning to an individual known to be guilty of a misdeed.
I thought, that's it. I have to do the same, and I should send these papers to the individual who is in charge of changing the situation of my city, and who can really somehow change the law and affect the air of Tbilisi. So I started to mailing papers to the mayor of the city 4 years ago. And somehow it really worked in Tbilisi, but I was mailing a lot and showing this piece on a lot of exhibitions. People were tagging the mayor on the social network, like, you should go and see this work. And finally he showed up. So after a couple of years, whole transportation and regulation for the public transport has changed in Tbilisi. So now we're in a better situation. When I find out that there was a chance to come to do a work here, and I saw these minibuses, marshutkas, which were like smoking out the pollution in the Bishkek, I related it to my hometown. So I thought that it would be nice to continue my project and do the same action in Bishkek. So I did the same. I went to the last stops and I printed these papers, which you can see down in the gallery. And I mailed it to Emil Beck, Abdikadirov, the mayor of the city, and we did a billboard as a small reminder.
Vents carry us outside the city to explore projects designed for and with residents of Altın Kazik. Festival artists cleared a triangle of land to create Altın Kazik's first ever playscape. Their projects, a brightly colored unicorn and a climbing dome among them, beckon the settlement's children to run, laugh, and play in their neighborhood. A local leader welcomes us.
So she said that she's very happy to greet you all here, and they're all very happy to have finally the playing space for kids, and they're looking forward to develop this space further.
We stop by the Library of Rescued Books to learn more about programs created for the children. Begimay Junusova is part of the community effort known as Tazar.
My name is Begimay, and I work in Tazar organization, who is the one of organizers of this event.
And where are we standing right now? We're having a beautiful snack brought to us by people here.
Yeah.
And we're standing in a room with books and a chalkboard.
Actually, Altın Kazık, it's outside of the Bishkek, and it was the old shop here for food, vegetables, some drinks. But now it's a library of saved books, because actually if you go to the landfill, you can find a lot of books like this. In this place, three times per week, we hold some trainings and classes for local children. For example, English classes, chess, and ecology trainings, and theater classes.
Because I understand there's no school in the settlement.
Yeah, children from Altın Kazık, they go to the next settlement, Kalısordo, to go to the school. But in this settlement, you can find two mosques, but no places for children. This place is like non-formal place for children. They always come here and have a fun with friends and can draw something and read books and come to our classes, all our courses for free. And they really love this place.
British-born, Brooklyn-based artist Ellen Harvey brings her project, Trash Teleportation, to both Bishkek sites in the form of painted signs. Outside the library, she talks about her aims for the work.
So the festival takes part in two places. One is this beautiful park full of statues in downtown Bishkek, and the other one is in Altın Kazık, where we are now, which is an informal settlement located next to the landfill. And as the same as in everywhere in the world, the downtown gets the beautiful statues, the beautiful park, and here people are trying to build a playground for the kids. There's a whole space here that they've built, a library of lost books. And I decided to teleport the beautiful park into the settlement and to teleport some of the trash into Oak Park. So in Oak Park, we have these big paintings that were made into signs that show statues surrounded by trash. And here we have the statues surrounded by flowers installed here, symbolically teleporting the beautiful park into a place that really needs a beautiful park.
It's really well situated in the courtyard outside this library.
Well, I'm very happy that people seem to enjoy it and that they wanted to have it here and they've decided they want to keep them. You never know, of course, as an artist, if you're not from a place and you're invited, even though you try to reach out as much as possible, you never know whether something will work out. And I feel really happy and super honored to get to be part of this festival.
Residents of the settlement prepare a hearty lunch for us, cooking outdoors on open fires for their rain-drenched neighbors and visitors. One of the street leaders breaks into song.
Yeah.
The dark clouds and drizzle that have dogged our morning give way to pouring rain, blessing the opening of Stolen's Community Engagement Project, the pop-up museum at the edge of the landfill. A crowd slogs up to a shipping container for the opening of the People's Landfill Museum. After achieving his vision with the hard-earned endorsement of city officials, a team of sanitation workers, and artists and community volunteers, Stolen is ready to celebrate. Bermiet Boryubayeva of the Bishkek School of Contemporary Art and Armarine Tursaleva of Tazar step up to begin the ceremonial ribbon cutting.
Yes, thank you. And also, I want to say thank you for the help, because this team helped also, the blood of their main work, they helped us make the museum of waste. So, very shortly in English, Bermet was saying that there is a waste polygon. It used to be a brick factory here. And there were like beautiful, nice women working in this factory. You will see the pictures inside. This waste polygon, it was burning for more than 30 years. It's supposed to be closed in 1994, but they couldn't close it because there were no resources. It was closed this year, and they're building a new proper polygon right behind the old one, and there will be opening soon. So today we celebrate not only the opening of the museum, we are celebrating the closure of the old waste dump, of the old landfill. So that's why we were giving applause to these guys, the team from the waste dump. Okay, now I'm going to give the microphone to Sto, because he's the main guy here.
I just want to thank everybody in Bishkek. I want to thank everybody for letting us do this. We fought for this. You know, originally the idea was to create a museum. The government said, nah, that's not a good idea, but we changed that. And I think that this space, it's a space for all of us. It's a space to give visibility to our waste issues. It's a space for artists, activists, environmentalists, and everybody to come learn more about their waste issues and actually have some fun. So without further ado, let me let you in, because it's getting wet out here.
We look closely at the oddly fascinating artifacts on display, all collected by Stolen and sanitation workers. Bottle caps and bowling balls, amateur paintings, fragments of outdated technology, dismembered doll parts, and odd plumbing pipe, a hair curler, silk flowers, knickknacks fallen out of favor, and a copper plastic front bumper, all that remains of a Fast and Furious arcade video game. A tapestry on the wall signals a special display of small stuffed creatures for children made by local seamstresses from cast-off fabrics. Only moments later, when the museum fills to capacity, two musicians perform an ode to the landfill museum with traditional instruments, a hormuz and flutes. I'm Kathy Bird. This is the Fresh Art International podcast. These conversations give voice to issues, ideas, and intentions informing creative approaches to mitigate pollution. They amplify the potential for artists to build community and drive sustainable solutions to our global environmental crisis. Recorded on site in Kyrgyzstan during my residency with CEC ArtsLink, the episode represents only a few of the poetic projects that we encounter, from the city of Bishkek to the settlement of Altın Kazik. We discovered myriad ways that socially engaged artists encourage awareness and action. They bring us together from around the world to experience, understand, and create true moments of beauty and meaning. They give us hope for a future that holds clean air, land, and water. If you like what you're hearing, please take a few minutes to rate and subscribe to our podcast. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Emily Hall Tremaine Foundation, Locust Projects, and the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, and listeners like you make Fresh Art International possible. When you visit our site, you'll find other episodes about art and culture from around the globe. Stay tuned for more contemporary art talk.